What I'm going to do is, since you're warriors, I want to talk about warfare. How about that, okay? So turn in your Bibles. I want you to start. This is not my main text, but I'd like to start here. Debated whether or not this should be the scripture read. And if you turn, first of all, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Your theme this year is servants that please the Lord. Servants that please. And you are living in probably one of the most crucial times in the history of the United States of America. We are in more turmoil today than any time in my life, and I believe probably any time in the history of this nation. Whites against blacks, liberals against conservatives, Republicans against Democrats. And there is just a hatred among people. And I want you to know there is not a political solution to the problem. The only solution to the problem is we as Christians start being the salt and light we should be and start taking a stand. And so these two verses that I'm going to focus my attention on probably are basically the theme of what we're going to be focusing our attention on. In verse 3, the Word of God says, "Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And the first word I want you to focus your attention on is that word, endure. Listen, if you're walking with the Lord and living for the Lord as you should, you're going to suffer persecution. You're going to have satanic opposition. All those, not some of those, that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Lord never promises a bed of roses. I love what the Ananias, the prophet, said to the apostle Paul when he basically commissioned him for service. And he said this, I want you to go and tell him that I'm going to bring him before kings and important people, but this phrase that just sticks out in my heart and mind is this: go and tell him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. That's the introduction to his ministry. And so if you're planning on having a cushy ministry, well, I'm going to have a big church and a bunch of people, and I'm just going to have a thriving ministry, then you're heading into disaster. And if you just leave it in the Lord's hands, he'll have you where he wants you. And you'll be faithful wherever he calls you. Not everybody can be a Moses, not everybody can be a Paul. There are individuals that serve faithfully, men of God all throughout time. And I just want to be found on the list of the faithful, amen? I want the Lord to be able to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And so endure. And then this is encompassing your theme. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him," that is God, "who hath chosen him," that is you as a Christian, "to be a soldier." Now, the Word of God says, "Endure hardness as a good soldier." The desire of God is that you and I be good soldiers, good warriors. And then the Word of God says, now listen, if you're going to war a good warfare, you're not going to be entangled with the affairs of life, that ye may what? Please him, that is the Lord, who hath chosen him, that is you as a Christian, to be a soldier. When you got saved, you gave away your civilian clothes. And the Lord has special armor for you, and that's going to be the focus of our attention in the time that we have left this morning. Now I want you to turn with reflecting upon that. God says endure, don't be entangled. Don't get mixed up with the affairs. Don't make this your home. Don't make this your place, the place where you lay up your treasure. That trophy is a wonderful thing, but guess what? When you go to glory, you're not going to take any trophies or medals or ribbons with you. But you can lay treasure in heaven. And where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor where thieves do break through and steal. And then go to the great warfare chapter in Ephesians chapter 6. And the verse that we had meditated upon is so precious to me as far as an introduction to one of the greatest warfare chapters in all the Word of God. And that is, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, it is interesting, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, the very first verse starts out with by saying, be strong in grace. To be strong in grace is to be strong in basically the ability God gives us to live the Christian life as we ought to live it. Strong in grace. That word grace means giving. Now, there's a difference between mercy and grace. Grace is God giving us that which we do not deserve. And mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. But when you think of this world, think of the word giving. And I love what the Word of God has to say in the Peterian epistle, and that is this: He hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And the text actually says, because He shares His divine nature with us. And God is the one who helps us in the time of battle, because this warfare is beyond you. You can't do it in your flesh. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, that we're to be careful. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but they're mighty through God to the pulling of down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In this spiritual warfare, there's a number of things. Number one, we have a responsibility to stand. And that is, we stand in obedience and honor to our King, the King of glory. I love Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. And that word host means army. Just don't think it's just a group of people. That host literally means army. And so we stand in honor and obedience to our King. He is the King of kings and He is the Lord of lords. And secondly, we stand in loyalty to our country. And I tell you what, if we get it fixed upon the fact that our lives fixed upon the fact that this is not it down here, and remember, and be not entangled with the affairs of this life. Don't be so earthly centered that you're no heavenly, not effective heavenly minded in a heavenly minded way. We stand and loyal to our country. And I tell you what, there are great servants of the past, such as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they had if they had been mindful from the country from whence they had come out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, and that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Listen, I'll tell you what. It would be wonderful if we realized that this life is even as a little piece of string. Now, on this stage of the string, you know, I'm probably about here. I've lived from this to that right there. And I don't have much. And probably you're probably here, and you're probably just about there. You're just about there as far as that string of life is concerned. And as I look back at my life, man, it has gone. Pastor Tim and I were talking, and we've known each other for 20 years, and it just seems like yesterday. Our life is even as a vapor that appeareth in a little while, and it vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall do this or that. And I want you to know, if you just consider your life to be just a little piece of string, now I want you to compare it for eternity. What you do down here with this little piece of string determines what you're going to have up there, where there's no end to the string. If you were to take this earth of ours and wrap it, and it was solidly a ball of string. That's just one day in eternity. That's just one day. And so in essence, what you do with this little string here determines what you're going to have up there. And the tragedy is most people live this string more for themselves than they do for God. And if you can keep your focus on this, and Satan doesn't want you to keep your focus on the limits of this life. He wants you to invest your life down here, your treasures down here, your basically enjoyment and pleasure down here. By the way, it doesn't mean you can't have pleasure. There's joy in the pleasant presence of the Lord, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. But I want you to know this, what you do down here will be up there forever. No one's going to take it away from you. It'll be there for all eternity. When you think of that, you realize that Satan's chief goal is to make sure that you don't make much of this. You use this string for yourself. And so we live in honor of our country, and I thank God I'm an American. I'm proud of our country, and another challenge that we're facing in America today is I'm a nationalist, but I'm a nationalist toward heaven as well. A lot of people no longer want to honor our flag. I hope your heart is that you appreciate being born in America and you love our flag. There's a greater flag, though. There's the banner of the cross, and if there's any flag I'm going to be behind, that's going to be the one I get behind, amen? And so we stand in honor and obedience to our King. We stand in loyalty to our country, and we stand for the sake of all mankind, both saved and unsaved. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. You see, you owe it to your brothers and sisters in Christ to take a stand, to live for the Lord. Let me tell you something. There may be some in this room, and I hope that there's none, that you are fixed on certain temptations, and basically maybe you talk about some things you shouldn't be talking about, or you view some things you shouldn't be viewing. And you encourage others maybe not to take a real strong stand. And that is a dangerous thing to do. Everything we ought to do ought to be driving others to the Lord Jesus Christ by what we say and what we do. And so we stand in honor and obedience to our King and loyalty to our country and for the sake of all mankind. And not only that, we stand with our reliance upon the Lord in taking our stand, not in our own flesh, not in our own ability. Strength in taking a stand is found in the Lord Himself. And the strategy for taking a stand is found in God's Word. And that is, we have the equipment that we need to make sure that we war a good warfare and come out victorious. And that's what the goal of warfare is, amen? Was the goal of your soccer team to come out with a fourth place or a third place? But let's go out there and let's get third place, fourth place. I don't think so. You went out there with the purpose of winning. And guess what? That's exactly what Christ wants out of you. He wants you to get into the battle with the purpose of living in victory. But thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? There's no reason we should not have victory. And so we stand with our reliance upon the Lord in taking our stand. And the strategy for taking our stand is fully the Word of God. We stand by learning to say no to sin. We stand by not giving ourselves an open door to sin. We stand by submitting to authority. We stand by submitting to parental authority, by church leadership authority. Stand by learning to say no to sin. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent not, Proverbs says. We stand not giving ourselves an open door to sin. We stand by being spirit controlled. We stand by not being personally weak in areas, but knowing when to flee. Flee youthful lust. There's a time when we run. When there's something about to conquer you, you flee to the presence of the Lord. Draw nigh to Him, and He'll draw nigh to you. The resistance to our sin. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, this is an interesting word here. Another one is found over in the Corinthian epistle where the Word of God speaks of the fact that we're not unaware of His devices. And I think that we, many individuals think that it's an easy thing to defeat Satan. You say, well, I can do what Jesus said. Get behind me, Satan. Let me tell you something. A lot of times, it isn't that easy. Now, I love what Michael said in Jude. When he fought over the body of Moses, and Satan wanted that body, we don't know exactly for what reason, to desecrate it, or maybe to mummify it so that the whole nation of Israel would worship it. I don't know. But it was important to him. And Michael, who was powerful, the Word of God says, durst not bring railing accusation, but said this, the Lord rebuke thee. Taking a stand in the Lord. And there are many satanic devices that he uses, and those things are listed for our scripture. And if it says that he has devices and he has wiles, tactical schemes, that means he has the ability to be, he knows your weakness, he knows your frailties, he knows the weak area of your life that you continually struggle with. I'll tell you what, young people, if I could challenge you in one area, worth seeing immorality like a tsunami cover this nation. This past year, we had to expel 4 students because of pornography. And I mean, these came from some good families. And you talk about broken parents. This is the first time in my 10 years of being a part of the school that we have seen this thing happen. But I'm seeing it happen as I'm dealing with men and women that are having problems in this area. Over half the internet is given over to more pornography. And let me tell you something, probably one of the greatest areas struggling, there's men and women sitting in this room, in this area right here. And I say to you, you better have the victory, because it'll destroy you if you ever get married, and it'll ruin your effectiveness. And so we stand against demonic forces of evil, his tactical plans, his schemes. And Satan has 2 major objectives, and that is, on the part of the unsaved, Satan's objective is death and demonic service. A part of the believer, it's death. He'd like to knock you off the scene as quickly as possible or diminish your reward. And his tactical plans and schemes are abundant in Scripture. And so the Word of God says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And that is, there is a basically scheme of the warfare system. And he has individuals in his army, so to speak, that are very, very prominent and powerful individuals. In the book of Daniel, we see the prince of Persia and the prince of Grecia, that these 2 nations were ruled by demonic figures. By the way, so will this world as well one day, and that person will be called Antichrist. Ruled by demonic figure. And all throughout history, this has been the case. I would not doubt that Hitler was demonically ruled, and others as well. And so, what is our reliance upon? Our reliance should be upon the Lord. Be strong in the Lord again, and then the power of His might. Against principalities, against powers, and that they have great authority, these demonic figures. I think of the ability Satan has in Scripture to blind people, to make people dumb. We know this, that disease came upon the body of Job. And we know that Satan can cause disaster. And that is, he wiped out all of his livestock. That was his wealth at this time. We realized as well that he brought death. And that is, he took all of the children of Job, didn't he? And then finally, disease. He covered his body with boils. You're no match for him, and neither am I. That's why you have to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. If you think you're going to do battle with him in your flesh without the help of the Lord, you'll never make it. He has demonic generals. One of the two chief tactics that he uses on you and everyone in this room right now is this, and that is your desires. Number one, and ultimately, at the very end, we realize at the very end of the book of Revelation that Satan is going to be brought back into the world after the millennium, and during that time, the Word of God says he deceives the nations. And so he uses your desires. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. You don't war by means of the flesh. The Word of God clearly says, love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For what are those things in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But whosoever doeth the will of God abideth forever. You are your father, the devil, Jesus said to the Pharisees, and the lust, that word lust is desire, of your father, you'll obey. He was a murderer. He murdered the twin towers of humanity when they sinned. Death entered into this world, and he toppled the twin towers of humanity. And if you read carefully Scripture, you'll realize that Canaan taking the life of his brother was a satanic activity. Satan participated in that. So Satan has greater power and authority, but not as great as he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. I'm glad that I don't have to face these battles alone, but he will use your desires, your lusts, your appetites to destroy you. And then as far as deception is concerned, he is the king of deception, whether it be cults, whether it be misinterpretations of Scripture. He is the great deceiver. And you can easily be tricked and deceived by him unless you have the help of the Lord. And so, I love the support we have on our stand. Our responsibility is to stand against the wiles of the devil, against his tactical plans. Our stand is to be in the Lord. Our stand is to be with the help of heaven itself. And as God gives us this help, we understand that we're not alone. I love the book of Romans chapter 8, because in the book of Romans chapter 8, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit supporting us in our stand. We know this, that the first verses, most of that particular chapter in Romans chapter 8 starts with the Holy Spirit of God and the help we have because of the Spirit of God. And secondly, we go into the help of the Father. If God be with us, who can be against us? Who can stand against us? And then finally, we go into the relationship we have with Christ. There's the great mediator, our Savior. And nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In your path to victory, you have the help of God the Father. You have the help of God the Son. And you have the help of God the Holy Spirit. But not only that, you got angelic help. All throughout Scripture, both Old and New Testament, you know, it's interesting that even our Savior had angels ministering to him in two crucial times in his life. The first time is found in Matthew chapter 4, where he went through the 40 nights and days of temptation. And at the end of those 40 days, the Word of God says an angel was sent and ministered to his needs. The other time was found in the crisis time at Gethsemane. And that is the time where he sweated, as it were, Luke says, Luke the physician, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And it wasn't the red clay of the land. Literally, my father-in-law is a doctor. He's with the Lord now. But he said a person can be in such excruciating pain that the capillaries of the face burst and a person literally sweats blood. And so the agony of Christ was so awesome that he sweat blood. And after the time of the agony and prayer, and finally ending the prayer by saying, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And the word of God says, an angel came and ministered to his needs. Now, I don't know what the angel did. We never find out. I can't help but to think it may have been the need of food. And we know that this took place because we know when Elijah went through his great time of discouragement, the angels fixed a couple meals for him and got him back online and made sure that he rested. I don't know exactly what it was, but whatever it was, it must have been pretty special for an angel to come down and minister to the needs of our Savior and his humanity. And so we have angelic help. We've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, angelic help. And we've got the help of other believers. And if that doesn't work, guess what? God will use unsaved people such as Nebuchadnezzar and Darius and Cyrus. We're not alone. Listen, there is no excuse for you and me not to have victory. No excuse. You and I don't have victory because it depends upon the flesh, number one, and number two, because we don't want the victory. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, but every man is tempted when he's what? Drawn away of his own lust. You'll never be able to say like Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. You did it because you wanted to do it. You did it because you tried to defeat Satan and temptation through your flesh, and you failed. That's why the Lord says, be strong in the Lord. The scripture says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then we have the armor of God. Every one of these pieces so vital. The word of God says, as you stand, take on the armor. Truth in a nutshell, God is the source of all truth. The word of God says that he has no part in lie. He is a God of truth. In the Old Testament, concerning Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Concerning the Spirit of God, he's the truth. And so God says, strap on truth, which holds all the armor together. And the strength of truth is found in our obedience. Unless you obey the truth, it is meaningless. And righteousness is so similar, the Hebrew word is broken down and has the idea, basically, of truth. And sort of, or in order to separate them, I think that what we're talking about is truth, is all the truth which is given. And righteousness is the truth received and lived with integrity. Now, I know one author, several authors say this, the righteousness is not ours, which is of the law. Our righteousness is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, unless you're saved, you can't be righteous. There are none righteous. No, not one. But when you got saved, Christ became your righteousness, and he wants you to live righteously. And so you'll be depending upon the wisdom of God. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel peace, I think Romans chapter 10 says very clearly that you ought to bring peace to others by going out and reaching them in salvation, the Great Commission. And if you do, you'll bring peace to lives that they'd never had. I've been so many places in the hospital where individuals got saved before they passed away and they're in great turmoil. And then they got saved and they were ready to go. Just recently, a couple weeks ago, I was in the hospital with a gentleman and had an opportunity to lead him to the Lord. And I didn't, you know, you never know whether or not these people are really saved. You're always hoping, because I'm not God. I don't know the heart. But when I left, his wife said, his whole disposition changed. Whereas he was struggling before, there was a rest that came over him that she had not seen since he had been in the hospital with cancer. And all of a sudden, in their conversation, he said, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Only God can give the peace that passes understanding. And that comes through the righteousness of Christ. And then you're supposed to bring peace to other people. And the only way you can bring true peace is by bringing peace between them and God. And that only takes place in salvation, so that they'll go to the same place that you and I will be going to one day. Young people, I'll leave you with this. War, a good warfare, and lay hold of eternal life. Be a good soldier. Be a good warrior for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ.